If you would, take the little Bible and turn to, I didn't put the page number down. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Whoever finds it in the little Bible, call out the page number.
Luke what?
Luke 16, 19. We're going to talk about something tonight that's getting to be not very fashionable to talk about, and that's hell. Hell is still real.
Right. Still hot too.
Most of us would say, most everybody would say they believe that. But if we really believe that as Christians, wouldn't we be more apt to warn people? And you've heard the story of, you know, if you was driving by the house and you saw a house on fire, had that happen in Atlanta just this last week. Somebody noticed that, got the people out, and, you know, if it hadn't been for that, who knows what might happen. They were already burnt pretty bad as it was, but they got them out and kept them alive. Nobody would drive by a burning building and not try to help. But the world's on fire. We're getting closer and closer and closer to when we run out of time. And if we really, really, really believed that hell was real, and we know that people are not born again or going there, that's what we say, right? Why aren't we warning people? You know, the compromised lifestyle in this world today, adultery is not adultery anymore. I've heard many a couple say, well, as far as we're concerned, we're married. Well, that don't work. I've heard homosexuals say, God made me this way. That's not correct. Adultery is still a sin. Homosexuality is still a sin, along with numerous other sins, and none is any worse than other. Let's read about a story that's commonly referred to. And by the way, some people will tell you that this is a parable, but it's not. It's not a parable. And the reason you can tell that is a parable doesn't have somebody's name. That's the easy way to tell. When Jesus used a lot of parables, of course, and we do. We use parables and don't even realize it. And that's example, right? And but here we read this story in starting in verse 19 of Luke 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And that's the difference. This is an actual guy named Lazarus. He was full of sores, it says, who was laid at the gate, this rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is heaven, right? What we know is heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. But look at verse 23. Being in torment, in this version we're using, the New King James used the word Hades. That's another word for hell. But being in torment, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, let's hold up there for a minute. One is, I can just kind of picture this guy, this rich guy, and his friends come around, and they're partying and having their good time. And the Bible says there that the beggar desired to be fed with just crumbs. And I can see them almost today, the rich man just tell his friends, say, watch this. Almost like you'd throw something to a dog and see if he could catch it. Watch this. There's Joe out there, still at my gate, still begging, and he's still telling me about God. How stupid can you get? What's it got him? I can almost hear that. We hear today, if that's Christian, I don't want to be one. Well, you're looking at somebody sometime. You're looking at a situation. What we need to do is look at God. But the rich man says, he also died and was buried. Now, notice the difference here. Lazarus, where did he go? To Abraham's bosom, right? In other words, he went to eternal rest. I mentioned some, Lee and I was talking earlier, we lost one of our church members this morning, just before church started. In fact, they called, and we knew he was, you know, close. And I saw the guy work with the funeral home take off out of the choir real quick. I thought, this ain't good, you know. And sure enough, it was Brother Stanley Vaughn. I was with Stanley Friday, went by his house, and 2 weeks ago, Stanley was on the job working. I mean, the picture of health, robust-looking man, and started having some back problems and didn't really think a whole lot about it. But he finally went to the doctor. Long story short, they said, you've got cancer in your pancreas and liver. And basically, sorry, nothing can be done. Nothing can stop it, they said, I think was the way they put it. Friday, I was visiting with Stanley, and we were talking about it, and he was talking about it like he's just going on a trip. He said, I know I'm going to be healed. If he doesn't do it here, it'll be on the other side, he said. He said, as soon as I get to the other side, I'll be healed. So this morning, this very day, Stanley Vaughn was healed. And he won't even need Tylenol anymore. This guy, this so-called beggar, was gloriously healed. Not only that, he doesn't have to beg anymore. Now, we don't beg literally like this picture here shows, but the world looks at us like that sometimes, like we're ignorant, like we're second class, or because you're a born-again Christian, because you're not with it. I've been told that. You're just not with it. You're not in the in crowd. And of course, my response is, if that's the in crowd, you can leave me out. You see, we got, as Christians, we got our sights on something bigger and better and longer lasting than anything this world can offer. Now, again, though, since we know hell is real and we know what it's up against, here the rich man died and was buried and being in torment. And I've had people say, well, you know, we talk about hell, and they say, well, at least I'll be with my friends. We'll have a party. So you really think that?
There's no party there.
I mean, you know, last time I checked, alcohol is flammable. And if you're engulfed in flame, the last thing you want is more fire. And first of all, we know it's not going to be there. And it's a bottomless pit, the Bible says. And the closest thing that I've ever heard of that could be related to that, the best we know, is a volcano. Is this lava that's just burning. And the Bible describes hell in great detail in some other places, and it sounds like a volcano that's erupting. In other words, you could fall in that volcano. Let's just say you fell into it, and you could fall and fall and fall, and you're just engulfed in this fire, right? Now, again, if I were to come by, or you were to come by my house, and it was on fire, more than likely, you as a just a humane person, you would do your best to find out if there's anybody in there. Did everybody get out? And if not, get them out. All right, well, let's bring this over into our story then. We know they're on fire. Not yet, but we know if they don't get saved, if they don't become born again, we know where they're going. But we'd rather criticize them and them, whoever it might be. We'd rather say, well, you know, that guy, that woman is homosexual and they're just lost and we don't want to be around them. Sometimes we get to be too goody two shoes for our own good. In South Georgia, when you bog down in a mud hole, you're going to get muddy to get it out. I think sometimes we need to take off our self-righteousness and go to where they're at the risk of being named with them, but yet tell them about Jesus. Amen. We're all called to do that. Every born-again Christian is called into the ministry. You've heard me say that many times. We all got different jobs to do. We all got different situations, different approaches. But nevertheless, folks, I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I believe time's running out. The more I look at the news, the more I listen to our so-called leaders, we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray real hard about this election this year. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm saying pray. Amen. Pray. Forget the party and pray. Amen. I heard a renowned preacher this morning as we was getting ready say, somebody asked him, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? He said, depends on what issue you're talking about. I like that. I like that. I don't vote the ticket. I don't do that. I pray for the person that I believe God wants in that office. I don't care what label they wear or what they look like or where they came from. Our nation is going to hell all around us. Now, let's narrow that down a little further. Our nation is the world of trucking. Right? Lee was quoting Acts 1 and 8 earlier where Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Our Jerusalem is trucking. In other words, Jesus said, start where you are with what you got. All right? Because again, there's people out there you would assume in America that knows about God and knows about heaven and hell, but I got news for you. There's thousands and probably millions that does not know what the Bible says because we assume so, or worse yet, I hear them cursing, I hear them telling filthy jokes, so I just avoid them altogether. That's not what God called us to do. In fact, if you don't get ridiculed some, if you don't get persecuted some, perhaps you're not witnessing enough. Perhaps the people around you and me, do they know that I'm a Christian? That's, you know, I'm wearing a Chaplain Joe shirt, but what I'm wondering about my life is when I'm not wearing that, when I don't have my Christian baseball cap on or anything, if somebody just watched me, would they know that I'm a Christian? Not so much what I say, but what I do. I heard one say that preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In other words, be a shining light in a dark world. In fact, the darker the world, the more the light makes a difference. Think about it. It takes less light to make a difference in a totally pitch black, dark place than it would, say, in this trailer in here. Take a lot of light to make any difference in here because we already got light. We need to be a light in this world. So this rich man died. We're in Luke chapter 16, y'all. Let's go on down a little bit further. Now we noticed in verse 24 of Luke 16 that he was in so much torment that he just asked for one drop of water. Just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Here's the response. Verse 25. Abraham said, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil thing. But now what? He is comforted and what? And you are?
In agony.
You're tormented. You are hopelessly lost. You see, and I know you probably know this, but when breath leaves your body, that's your last chance. There's no amount of praying that'll change that. There's not enough money to change that. The Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And there's no rest area between here and there. So our only hope is to reach them while they're still alive. And even though I knew Stanley, I've been knowing Stanley Vaughn ever since I've been at Macedonia Church, Macedonia Baptist Church, where we're members, even though I've known him, and his son is my neighbor, actually, I wanted to hear Stanley Vaughn tell me he was ready. If I had the opportunity to be with Dr. Charles Stanley or Billy Graham or anybody else, and it was said that they were dying, I'm going to say, is it all right? I've been knowing this guy for many, many years, but hey, this is critical. Right. When you get right down to it,
this is crunch time.
That's right. I would hope that somebody would say, Joe, are you sure? Are you sure? And if the response is, I hope so, anything except I know. If it's anything else, we need to do something. We need to pray. So we don't want to assume anything. This guy, again, when he died, the Bible says he went immediately to hell. And verse 26 said, besides this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. In other words, there's no going back and forth. Once you get there, it's over.
You're there.
I have on the back of my cards, get out of hell free. Now, that's good, but I tell somebody when I hand it to you, that's actually deceiving. There ain't no getting out under no circumstances. What I wish it said is stay out of hell free. Because once you get there, it's over. You see, Lazarus, I could just only imagine in my mind what he went through and the ridicule that he went through, but he had his mind set on something better and longer lasting than what this so-called rich guy was. You say, well, you know, I don't have much money, so being rich wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't be like that guy. Well, what if it's pride in our case? What if it's, I'm worried about what somebody might say. I've had a driver say, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Well, say something. If you study this word, if you read the word of God, and by the way, read it out loud, and we'll talk about that again another time. But it's important that you hear the word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Well, if you hear that, it's in your spirit, man. And when you get the need, the Holy Spirit lives in you, is going to bring that back to your mind, and you'll be saying it. You won't even intentionally do that. It'll just happen, but it won't happen unless you avail yourself to that Holy Spirit to be you. And I've had people say, that's what we pay our preacher for. No. No, I beg your pardon. No. That's all right. He is the pastor of the church, yes. And we pay our pastor, and I'm proud to say that. We take care of him and his family. But he is just the shepherd of the flock. I've never seen a shepherd reproduce a sheep. Sheep reproduce sheep. And that's what we are. The Bible says we're the sheep of his pasture, right? So it's our job to go out and reproduce sheep for the kingdom of God. You know, I heard on a program this morning, another program that I was listening to while we were getting ready, and I don't know where this statistic come from, but it made me sick. This person said only 1 in 20 Christians ever share their faith. That is pathetic. That is pathetic. 1 in 20 ever share their faith. Now we're not saying they don't go to church, pay their tithe, live right. We're talking about sharing their faith. A lot say, well, I don't know how. Well, you don't have that excuse, Truck Stop Ministries. We'll show you how. We'll teach you how. And it's easy. Because if you got it, it's easy to tell somebody what you did. What you did. My son, Joey, which I'm very thankful for, God turned his life around. And one of his drug suppliers wanted to know what in the world happened. What happened to you? What's different? And Joey just told him. He didn't know enough. I mean, he just got saved, okay? And he just told him that what he did. He just got on his knees and asked God to forgive him of his sin. And this guy went in the bathroom, come out, and he said, I just did it. Did what? Did what you did. And he said, well, what did I do? I asked Jesus to forgive my sin. And he did that because what he saw in someone. Not what the guy was saying. Can somebody watch us and say, I want what you got? I hope so. And not only that, I want to encourage them. Because if you can't watch me very long, I want to say something to make you think. I was handing out the flyers here this evening, and one guy said, no thanks, I'm not a Christian. I said, well, you're still welcome to come. Amen. I mean, hey,
most welcome.
More than anybody. Right. We want you to come.
And where he needs to be.
But again, to listen to the world today, I would get the opinion, and I'm sorry to say if I listen to most church people, and I'm one of them. Okay, I'm not talking about somebody else, I'm talking about me. But to listen to the Christian group, I would think either hell, the fire got turned off, or it's not there anymore. And we got a group now saying that it's not forever. There's a group teaching that it's not forever. Turn to Matthew 25:41. I want you to see what God says so that when you run upon these, I ran up on it in Nebraska. So I don't know if you run out that way or not, but that's where I happened to run up on somebody that was telling me this news. That hell is not forever. I take that back. It was Missouri where I ran up on it. Missouri.
Well, you'd have to show them.
That's a denominational teaching, though. I'm telling you that it's a very serious thing. Look at Matthew 25:41. What page is that? Hold on, please. Matthew 25:41, speaking to people who had rejected Jesus, he said, then he will also say to those on the left hand, what? That's right. But worse yet, into the everlasting fire that's actually prepared for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
See, it's not even prepared for us. We're not even supposed to go there. But the devil and his angels. But because people reject God and reject the plan of salvation, they automatically are his followers. You're either following God or Satan, right? You're either following one or the other. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul talks about being punished with everlasting destruction. Everlasting. I challenge this person who told me that hell is not forever. And I mentioned a couple of verses showed him a couple of verses, and he said, well, that word is mistranslated. Well, you always got an answer. You know, you always got a compromise. But the Word of God teaches that hell is forever. Now, let's switch over. Since hell is real, right? Hell is horrible. Hell is forever. But the good thing is, so is heaven.
Amen.
So is heaven. It's for real, and it's forever. Once we get there, just like my brother Stanley Vaughn today, he told me Friday, he'll either heal me here or when I get to the other side. He talked about the other side two or three times. He knew, right? I'll make it over there. I'll be all right. And he is forevermore healed right now. His family is hurting, and the church family is hurting. But we rejoice, though, to know where Stanley is right now. The Bible says, you know, and here's the thing. Even though we sin, the Bible says what? That what is it? Romans 3:23. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. Then it says, back up a few verses, in verse 10 it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, what are we going to do? I'm glad to say there's some good news in Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, or still sinning, still living in sin, what happened?
He died for us.
Isn't that good news?
That's the best news.
Then why aren't we telling somebody? Why aren't we telling more people? I've just learned about some technology that we have. I didn't even know it. In Truck Stop Ministries, I just learned the other day in a staff meeting about, and I don't want to get too far into it, but it's wow. It's awesome. With Skype, things like that, we can actually broadcast video live anywhere. And we're headed towards that. That's rough when you see me. I mean, we might turn a lot of people off, but anyway, we'll be able to do that.
I don't want to use that, I'm leaving.
I am thankful that we're recording this tonight, and it'll be in a CD pretty soon and distributed, given away. I'm thankful for that, but wow, we're going to get to where that we can actually be doing this here, and anybody, any driver sitting in their truck anywhere, this is my understanding, will be able to get on their laptop and listen to it. That's exciting. That's exciting. In other words, God's given us the technology, and so you can also study the Word by video, by audio, by the web, all right, and be equipped to go out and win the lost to Christ. I don't know about you, but my desire is to reach as many as I can. I got this personal thing against the enemy called Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, plain and simple. Know who he is. There's no question about who the enemy is. So we want to come against him. And we got the power over him.
Amen.
1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So what are we worried about? You know, we've got the power, right? John 3:16, greatest love story ever told. Everybody knows that. God loved us enough that he let his only son die in our place. I couldn't do that for you. I couldn't let my son die for you, even if you was a good person, let alone the way we were, right? Again, if I did that, if we were to do something like that, if you did that for me, for instance, I'd be telling everybody what a wonderful person you were. Let's just say, let's make it a little bit smaller and say I was losing my home. And Carrie come along and paid it off and said, but don't tell nobody. This is just, you can have it. Well, that'd be a waste of breath on his behalf, because I would tell everybody, everywhere I went, did you know what Carrie Hewlett did for me? Right? We would do that. Well, Kerry can't save me from hell. He would if he could. Jesus did, right? Who am I telling? Who am I telling? Am I afraid of what somebody might think? Well, first thing somebody's got to do is believe. In the old scripture, you know, Romans 10, verse 9, right? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No question about it. Don't say you might. You shall be saved, right? It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, excuse me, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, the question we want to look at here is, do we really believe that? Now, we as Christians, most of us know the Romans Road, as it's called. We know how to be saved. We know how we got saved. But again, if we really believe that, if we really know that, why aren't we telling other people? You drivers, excuse me, you drivers have the greatest opportunity in the world. We're sitting here with over 100 trucks sitting here on this parking lot, and this is a relatively small truck stop compared to some, and there's half a dozen in here. Well, how many is out there that won't come in here, but you bump shoulders with them all the time? We need to be more aware of people around us. Not only that, we need to be more willing to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to say, going down in Romans 10, verse 12, says that 12 and 13 says everybody's got a chance. Verse 12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. And verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So everybody we walk up to is either born again or potential born again. We've got a little saying around here, as long as you're breathing, there's hope. Amen. I mean, if you're breathing, there's hope. We had a guy many years ago, I've shared this, but came up to the chaplain and right out there on them very steps and was going to hand him the flyer back. He said, I can't go in there. I'm too evil. He said, you're the reason the place is here. And he came in that night and he gave his life to Christ. God turned him around. Nobody is out of God's reach. Amen? There's no big sin and no little sin. Well, of course, one, it takes belief. Number two, it takes repentance. Again, there's a group out there that this is the one I ran up with in Nebraska. I was mistaken a while ago. In Nebraska, a person told me you don't need to repent to be saved. Well, see, that's a trick of the devil, because if you don't repent, you can't be saved, right? Well, see, there again, with this thought pattern of hell's not that bad, right? The sin in my life is not bad. God understands. How many times have I ever heard that? You know, God understands. Tom T. Hall made a fortune many, many years ago with a song that said, me and Jesus has got our own thing going. Now, we all laughed at that song. We listened to that song. And I'm not criticizing anybody, but think about that thought pattern. We're okay because Jesus understands me. We got an understanding. No. You know, this is what we go by, is the Word of God. This is what Jesus goes by, is the Word of God. And if we haven't repented of our sins, if we hadn't confessed our sins, they're still there. He said twice in one passage of Scripture, unless you repent, you shall perish. So you see, as we go out witnessing, we got to tell them the truth. Now, you can do that without criticizing, without condemnation, in love, because after all, you know, I told one guy, the only difference in me and you is Jesus. Certainly ain't anything good about me. Again, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you, I told him, you can be saved too if you want to. There's only one reason for you not to be born again. That's because you just don't want to. But don't say it's because of this or that or the other. I want to be known as a soul winner. I want to reach as many people as I possibly can with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because hell is there. Eternity is too long for somebody to be wrong. And at the risk of being challenged, at the risk of being persecuted, at the risk of being misunderstood, I want to tell them about Jesus and the way out of that. I don't attack anybody's doctrine. I don't attack anybody, whatever they've been told, even though you know it's not right. And sometimes they could tell me who they belong to, and I'll know instantly that they're in left field or whatever, but I don't go there. But Chaplain Joe, do you believe it's a sin to do so and so? No. Well, it don't matter what I believe. Let's see what God said. Jesus said in John 8:32, I believe it is, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Tonight, we need to let the truth set us free. If we're already born again, that's great. But maybe you need to set us free from pride, from that worry of what somebody might say or think about me. I really don't care. That don't sound right, but I really don't care what somebody thinks. I really don't. Doesn't matter. Ain't going to change nothing. You know, I already tried the other part. You know, I already tried to please everybody, and I done figured out you can't do that. It don't matter what you are, what you believe, or which way you're going, somebody ain't going to like it. There's only one that I want to please, and he's the author of this book. Amen. He's the one that I'll stand before one day, and he's the only one. In fact, he says, don't fear man. What man can do, who you ought to fear, is God, who could not only kill the body, but the soul. In other words, the everlasting spirit in us. It's up to God where we wind up. And he's made a way for us to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He paid the sin debt. And all we got to do is, one, is believe it. Number two is repent. 1 John 1:9 guarantees it. He said if we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That's right. That's the icing on the cake. He will cleanse us from all unrighteous, everything. Amen. All we got to do is ask. So tonight, we're going to close like I always do. Even though everybody might be born again in here, I'm not going to take a chance. If there's something in your life that you know about that maybe nobody in the world knows about, or maybe it's just the fact that you need to ask God, we need to ask God to give us more boldness. Forgive me for not being the witness I should be. Forgive me for not having you absolutely first in my life, in my business, my work, my job. Maybe that's what we need. I don't know. And maybe somebody listening to the CD is in that position. We want to do what 1 John 1:9 says and confess our sin and allow him to forgive us. So, I want to ask you to do something for me. I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud, everybody here. You say, well, I don't need to. Well, that's good, but somebody in here might. It might be the person around you somewhere. I don't know. Maybe somebody on the CD. I can tell you this, that it won't hurt you. If you're already saved, you're saved. Maybe there's something though in your life that God has been speaking to you about. So we're going to pray this prayer in closing. With your heads up, eyes open, we're all here together, and just let the Lord deal with our heart. Let him cleanse us if we mean it as we pray it. And that nobody's going to know that but you and him anyway. We're not going to take a poll. Did you really mean that? Well, that's between you and God. Very personal. Okay? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins.
Come into my heart. And help me to be
the kind of Christian
that you want me to be.
Help me to be
an effective witness for you.
Help me to tell those around me
about your great love.
Thank you, Jesus,
for forgiving me.
Amen.
You know, that's the greatest thing to know, that it's all right.
And even though we don't have cancer that we know of, we may not have anything that we know of, but who knows?
We've heard some amazing stories lately of people just drop out. Now, I'm not saying that as a scare tactic, because that's all right too. Really. That old song, "It Is Well With My Soul." It's okay. It's all right. You ought to read sometime the story behind that song. "It Is Well With My Soul." It's okay. And we bought a book that's got all the old hymns in it and the story behind every one of them. And that's so fascinating. You know, I think I'm a strong Christian. I ain't squat side of that guy. But God using him to bless millions of people with that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." All right. Thanks for being here tonight.